You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's February 26, 2026, and welcome to episode 172 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program today. I hope you're having a fantastic week so far. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the game Romeo is a Dead Man. But as always, we start the show with a look at the headlines from this past week. And the dust still hasn't settled from last week's Xbox leadership overhaul, but we're starting to hear a few different narratives starting to emerge. On Monday, Tom Warren at The Verge published an article reporting that several sources from within Xbox expressed their relief that Sarah Bond was leaving, saying that she could be difficult to work with, and claimed that the "This is an Xbox" marketing campaign was primarily Bond's brainchild, and that many felt that it weakened the Xbox brand by taking that focus away from the console itself. Now, Bond herself released a statement on LinkedIn, and if there are any, you know, hard feelings or behind-the-scenes drama, she is not letting on. She says, quote, "It was the right time for me to take my next step, both personally and professionally." And she said that she would be staying on during the transition in an advisory role. It feels a little bit like some folks are trying to make Bond out to be the scapegoat here, but really, I highly doubt that all of Xbox's problems that they've had over the years can be placed squarely on her shoulders. Now, as far as the incoming CEO, Asha Sharma, is concerned, she's going to need to win over Xbox co-creator Seamus Blackley, apparently, who spoke to Games Beat this week and said that he thinks the future of Xbox is pretty grim. He says that he believes the brand, quote, is being sunsetted, and that he thinks Sharma is there to make sure it happens, going on to say, "They don't say that, but that's what's happening. I expect that the new CEO, her job is going to be as a palliative care doctor who slides Xbox gently into the night." Ouch. Sharma herself spoke to Windows Central and expanded on her initial letter to the team and what her goal is, saying, quote, "It's that spirit of surprise. It's the spirit of building something nobody else is willing to try. I've heard renegade, rebellion, and fun used. That's what I was thinking about when I wrote that." She went on to say, "Xbox players have thousands of dollars invested in money and time, too. It's incredibly important for me to understand that and protect that. I am committed to returning to Xbox, and that starts with console. That starts with hardware, and you will hear more about that soon." To me, that sounds like someone who is at least going to try to make this thing work, and not someone who is administering their last rites. Now, whether or not her strategy, her plans are successful or not, you know, is something that we're really only going to be able to know over time. And I'm at least willing to see how that plays out first before writing my Xbox obituary. To talk about this week's game, I kind of need to start off with a disclaimer. I'm pretty sure that I have never played a Suda 51 game. I've never played Killer 7, No More Heroes, Lollipop Chainsaw, nothing. I haven't been like intentionally avoiding them or anything. I just never got around to checking any of them out. And I feel like I need to state this up front because Suda games absolutely have their own distinct flavor. And that's what people like about them. You know, and like, say, extreme sour Warhead candies, that flavor is not going to be to everyone's liking. So coming into Romeo is a dead man. I didn't really know what I was going to be getting into besides, you know, it was a character action game and that it was going to be weird. But the level of weird, the pure, unfiltered insanity that they hit you with, like a shotgun blast to the face, I wasn't quite ready for that. Let me see if I can properly convey what happens during the first 15 minutes of this game. So, Romeo Stargazer, yes, that's his name, is a deputy in the town of Deadford, Pennsylvania. One night, he's driving down the road with the sheriff, explaining to him how the president of the United States is being controlled by an AI chip implanted in his brain when they're attacked by a creature called a white devil. During the attack, Romeo's time-traveling grandfather appears and kills the white devil. Romeo, with half of his face chewed off, is about to die, and he's saved when his grandpa stabs him in the eye with something like a giant needle that turns him into a superhero called Deadman. Romeo is then recruited by the FBI to be a part of their space-time force, who travel the galaxy taking out anomalies who are wreaking havoc on the time stream. In particular, his girlfriend Juliet, who appears as various monsters and bosses in the different realities. You also learn that your grandpa was killed during that initial attack, but he now lives on as some sort of sentient illustration on the back of your jacket and guides you along on your missions. You also have a bunch of teammates who occupy that spacecraft, including your mom, who will cook you curry if you ask, and a humanoid cat who's kind of a jerk. You know, and I'm sure I'm missing a few things, but that kind of sums up what they hit you over the head with right away. And it's a lot to absorb. And the one thing that it kept making me think was that it felt like jumping into season 3 of a really crazy 80s anime that you had never seen before. You know, it's like, I have no idea what the hell is going on. But I also think it's kind of cool, I think. A lot of the time I bounce off of overly ridiculous games, you know, like Death Stranding, but I think part of the reason that this is working for me here is that they go all in. They don't take anything serious here. Death Stranding didn't work for me because it's trying to be this emotional and dramatic thing, and the stupidity in it detracts from that, where Romeo is a dead man embraces the stupid. It goes all in on it, and I respect that. Most of your time will be spent hacking and slashing your way through zombies and monsters through each of the game's levels, like, say, an 80s shopping mall. And the fighting is pretty satisfying. It has the right amount of chunkiness to it, you know? Like, you can really feel the impact when you chop through a group of baddies. You start off with, like, a cool laser sword and a pistol, and you'll unlock other types of weapons and guns as you progress, like a shotgun or a heavy sword, and the weapons are all upgradable, and the special attacks in particular are very cool, unleashing a flurry of particle effects and rainbow colors to take out groups of enemies at a time. In between those missions, you can return to the giant FBI spaceship, which is of course presented in a 16-bit Sega Genesis kind of a style. Here you can talk to your crewmates, craft recipes with your mom, upgrade your stats, and plant seeds, which you can find during the levels, which, after watered, grow into monsters that they call bastards, which you can summon in battle to fight alongside you. And they each have their own special abilities, rarity, and names, and you can keep track of them in your Bastardpedia. Yes, Bastardpedia. From here, you'll also plan out your missions and travel to the locations on your space-time bending motorcycle. Yes. The weird just keeps on going. There's also some mini-games to do, although I found some of them kind of clunky and confusing. There's like a Pac-Man kind of one that I think in some ways helps you upgrade things, but they don't explain it very well, and I just kind of gave up on it after a while. This game has a lot going on. Not all of it is great, but there's a lot in this. I don't think I love this game, but I am liking it more than I thought I would. While there are things that aren't explained very clearly and I'm still confused on some of the mechanics, the gameplay is solid and fun. And while the absurdity is off the charts, it's done with such confidence and style that I'm willing to stick it out for a while. If nothing else, I just kind of want to see what happens next. This week, I wanted to leave parents of younger kids out there with a little bit of sage advice, something I've been thinking about lately. Out of all the things that you'll try to teach your children as they grow up and impart on them, I think one of the most absolutely critical and most useful things that you can do is teach them how to cook. I see so many younger people who rely on Grubhub and DoorDash for the majority of their meals, and they're just flushing money down the toilet. I mean, between the inflatable prices per item that they charge you, the delivery charges, the tips, I could probably make 3 good meals at home for the price of having one delivered. And it'd probably be way better. Now, I'm not saying don't ever use those services. You know, I do on occasion, but it should be the exception and not the rule. If you start showing them at a young age how cost-effective and easy and fun it can be to make meals at home, they'll be so much better set up for when they're, you know, adults who are strapped for cash and struggling to get by. And your kids will probably love it. You know, mine don't like everything that we try out, but they like most of it and they like to help make it. In the last week, we've done chicken thighs with a cognac cream sauce, pasta shells stuffed with ricotta cheese and pancetta, and a Southwest mac and cheese with seasoned beef and jalapenos, and they loved all 3 of those. Now, when you do decide not to cook, I recommend going to like a local restaurant and giving money back to your community. You know, support small businesses, support immigrant families, expose your kids to the foods of different cultures. You know, we went to a great Vietnamese place last weekend, and we've got an Ethiopian place on our list to go next. Do anything except spend $50 to have McDonald's delivered to your door. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Both of those things help tremendously. So until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of the week, and don't forget to save.